Don't worry. Be happy. It's interesting, as we are trekking through the Sermon on the Mount, and we get to this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus, addressing those who were on the mountain that day, says to them those words, "Don't worry." Let's take a look at that this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn there to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we pick up at verse 25. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount since August, and looking at it line by line, and what a tremendous teaching from our Lord. You know, it's very interesting. I think that don't worry, be happy idea, what ends up happening is people think that that ought to be all it is, you know, and when that is just the lack of their reality, it creates worry, doesn't it? Because you think something's wrong with you. Well, Jesus talks about the idea of not worrying, but gives you more than just this self-denial, just be happy, like where we don't have to deny what's going on. Let's take a look at what he says here in Matthew chapter 6, looking at verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, Jesus says, do not worry. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you have need, that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Very interesting what Jesus is doing here. We've been working through the Sermon on the Mount and over the last number of months, and we've been talking about the importance of reading this sermon in proper context. Critically important. It's amazing how this teaching by Jesus on the mountain has been so butchered by so many people, because what they do is they see this as a bunch of isolated thoughts, that there's no continual flow, and they disconnect what Jesus is saying from its previous as well as proceeding comments. And what ends up happening is they take the content, they take the text out of context, and it results always in error. That's why you can get people like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, who, when asked what is their favorite Bible passage, responded with the Sermon on the Mount, because it teaches that we shouldn't judge one another and everybody should be able to just get along. Certainly not an endorsement, but maybe a revealing of reality. So in order to fully understand what Jesus is saying here, we must consider what he's just been talking about. What has he just been commenting on? We notice something in verse 25. We see here that he reminds us, therefore do not worry. And we talk about the fact that every time you see a therefore, we need to find out what it's there for, right? And so what he's saying here, the NASB says, for this reason. In other words, what he's doing is he's commenting on or bringing a conclusion based on what he had just said. We talked about this topic 2 weeks ago, as we talked about the topic of sound investing. And what Jesus was referring to was the importance of his disciples ensuring that they were not the slave of money or of possessions, because they could not serve two masters. We talked about the importance of staying away from materialism, and said that materialism leads to enslavement. Enslavement of the heart, enslavement of the mind and enslavement of the will. If you weren't here for that, you can grab a CD as you're walking out today just to kind of bring you back to where we were. But we concluded that week by saying that it isn't wrong for you to have things as long as those things don't have you. And that's in essence what Jesus was saying there. In other words, we are to hold all things loosely, be willing to give them up if God calls upon you to do so, so that we would advance the kingdom of God. So what are we really saying here? Well, let me say it boldly. What he was saying is, if your greatest investments are in things that are not related to the forwarding and the advancing of the kingdom of God, then your heart is not fully surrendered to him. You are serving two masters, is what Jesus is saying. Now, don't tune me out yet. Thinking, well, he's just talking about money here. It's not. Jesus is not talking about money. He's talking about the motive and what drives us when it comes to money. And what we see here is very interesting. It's very consistent with the way that Jesus was teaching on the mountain that day. He says, he that looks at a woman and lusts after her has committed adultery in her heart. He uses the example of adultery, but he's addressing the bigger issue of the heart, isn't he? He says that if you are angry with your brother, you've committed murder in your heart. The issue is not so much murder, but what is going on in your heart. Jesus was always bringing out the driving force behind the actions. He uses divorce in this text to bring out the greater importance of being loyal to our vows and following through when we say, I do. Jesus is raising the awareness to the obvious to point out the not so obvious. And that's what Jesus is doing in this Sermon on the Mount. And that's why it's so critically important that we read this passage in the proper context of what Jesus is saying. And so likewise, what he is doing here is he is using money and the love of it to bring out a greater point of where his disciples' security and trust ought to be grounded in. And so don't dismiss this message this morning thinking, well, he's just talking about money. No, this isn't about money. What Jesus is talking here is about security and trust. And the way in which he brings out those truths, he hits us right in our comfort zone, and he talks about money. What he does is he's pointing out that a person's heart is going to show what they're truly trusting in for their security, right? He talks about money, and he says here that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's where your security is. That's where you're trusting in. And he uses this one thing that everybody wants more of, everybody's complaining about, and when he does this, he raises the obvious to bring out or point out the not so obvious. And he's talking about the issue of trust here and security. And he says, instead, listen, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Seek the kingdom of God first. That's where your treasure and your security needs to be. Just as a reminder, he is speaking here not to the crowd. He's not speaking to those who were not followers. He's speaking to those who wanted to be disciples of Jesus. And he's saying here, listen, if you want to be my disciple, then everything that you trust in, everything that you hold on to, must be rooted and grounded in me. And the way in which he brings that out is says, hey, listen, too many of you are holding on to other things. You cannot serve two masters. I know the emotion that talking about money brings up. Jesus is really making it abundantly clear where our investing needs to go. And usually that kind of talk brings up one of two emotions. It either brings up anger in the hearts of people. How dare you talk about that? How dare you tell me where I need to invest my money? You don't know how hard I work. Listen, this is what Jesus said. I'm just a delivery boy, right? These are the words of Christ. Or it brings out fear. You can say, I see it, because nobody who is a student of the scripture can ever argue the fact that the scripture is very clear on how we ought to be dealing with our money. And what it does is it produces fear. And that's just what was going on in the hearts of Jesus' listeners. They heard what he was saying here. Those who were sitting on the mountain next to Jesus were thinking, I'm sure, how in the world am I going to put the kingdom of God above my own needs? How do I prioritize the advancing of the kingdom of God above my own wants? And I'm sure it created a sense of worry in them, concern in them, because they knew this Jesus was the real deal. And they knew that he was talking truth. And it created the same concern that rises up in the hearts of all of God's people when we look like we're called to do something that's going to be very inconvenient for us to do. It creates a sense of worry. And that's just why Jesus continues with this next comments that are in our text today. It's almost like Jesus is saying, I know what I just said rocked your world. Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry. And so we see how well they go together when we understand what's going on, what's being clearly implied here. The way Jesus chooses to teach this difficult truth is by pointing out how nature is dependent on the Father for its provision. What a masterful teacher he is. Look, he says here, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not more valuable to him than they? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not as beautiful as one of these. And if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is gone, how much more will your heavenly Father not take care of you, O you of little faith? He is appealing to their sense of logic. And he's saying, listen, in the same way that God takes care of them, he will take care of you. The point that he's making here is that all of nature depends on him, on God, on the Father, and he never fails. All of nature depends on the Father, is what Jesus is saying, and he never fails. Only mortal human beings, only men and women depend on money, and money always fails. And so the issue here is not on what we have. Don't miss this morning. It is not on what we have, but what are we putting our trust in? Where is your security lying? And that is the root issue that Jesus is talking about here. The greater question that Jesus raises here is one of allegiance to those who were sitting on the mountain that day, listening to the words of this rabbi. Will we live for what we want, or will we live for the one who calls us to kingdom living? And for the one who chooses obedience, Jesus says to them, don't worry. You're going to be taken care of. Very interesting. It's the only area in the scriptures that God says we can trust him in. Why is that? The only area, look at Malachi, where God says, when it talks about tithes and offerings, he says, trust me in this. See, test me in this and see if I will not pour out a blessing on you so that you won't be able to contain it. What is God looking for? Listen, you ready? This might come as a real eye-opener. God does not need your money, and neither do I or the church. We don't. It's not about money. It really isn't. And when we get past that, we can really get to the heart of what Jesus is talking about. You cannot get, listen, it's one of the most talked about topics all throughout the scriptures. Well, why is that? Because as I said last week, because the heart bone is connected to the wallet bone, right? And Jesus knows that when we talk about the stuff that we have, he's not talking about the stuff that we have as much as the stuff that has us. And he said, you cannot have two masters. You will either love one or hate the other. And so it's not about money. It's about our heart. It's about what we're trusting and where is our security going to be. And what Jesus is talking about is the issue of allegiance to him. hey, I've been in the faith for almost 25 years, and I've never seen anybody who has been faithful to the Lord in their finances being in a position of lack. God takes care of them. They might be, not be living high in the hog, and that might be God's will for you. I don't know. But I can tell you this, I've never met anybody who said, you know, I took this word of God seriously and I'm out in the poorhouse, or I'm not able to meet my bills, or I've never seen it. You cannot outgive God. And I'm not talking about, listen, for those of you who don't know me, I'm not talking about hyper faith. I'm not talking about health and wealth. Those of you who know me know I get a real attitude towards that kind of theology. But it's an issue of obedience, which is in essence an issue of discipleship. And that is what Jesus is referring. We need to be very careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Hey, listen, I hear him on the TV and so do you. I've been in the churches where people are trying to, you know, manipulate your last dollar out of you. That is not the issue. The issue that we were talking about is one of trust. To worry is to sin. We worry because we think that we're in control, don't we? We worry because we think we're actually in control of things, or we want to be in control. We worry because we fail to believe that God will provide for us. And Jesus is the one who said, do not worry about tomorrow. Listen, if you're taking notes, you want to jot this down because you need to. This is a great reminder for everybody here. Listen, today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow that you worried about yesterday. And can it, take a look, you're okay. You're worried about it yesterday. You're okay. God is, you've still got a pulse. You're still breathing. You're still, you know, thankfully we're all dressed, right? God's providing for us. We've all got food in our belly. God meets the needs of his people. Stop worrying. Today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. You know what worry does? Worry robs us of our effectiveness today. Hey, listen, if the enemy can't get you out doing drugs, out sleeping around and doing all those other things, he will try and get you with worry. And it will hold up your effectiveness in God. So how do we overcome worry? Not just worry about finances, but worry over so many different things. We can have an open forum here about all the things that we worry about. And you know what? If you weren't worried when you walked in, you'd be worried by the time you walked out, right? Every one of us have got things that we worry about. Just turn on the news. Bankruptcy. Oh no, they're talking about recession. Hey, I've seen the gas prices and so have you. Crime, divorce, cancer, it's all we ever hear about, to the point that it keeps us up at night. Hey, listen, some of my greatest battles are won and lost between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. Why? Because I live in the same world you do. And I wish I could preach this from the experience side of the cross, but you know what? It's a battle that we all go through. We all worry about different things. Hey, I've got kids. I've got bills. I am constantly having to bring myself to these truths that Jesus says, where he says, you know what? He will take care of me. So how do we overcome this area that holds us back and keeps us up at night? Is there a solution? Yes, I believe that there is, and I believe that Jesus gives it to us right in this text. But let me tell you something. It's not a quick fix. I'm sorry. I've looked for one. It's not there. Listen, quick fixes last very quickly. They go very quickly. But he does give us some truths here. Can I tell you, worry is a learned behavior, isn't it? You didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to worry. That's why there's nothing more frustrating, right? When you're going through something and you tell somebody what you're feeling, they say, well, why do you feel that way? Just get over it. No, they've been conditioned to worry from the earliest ages. It is a learned behavior. The difference between then and now is we worry about different things. Maybe they've got more zeros on the end. But it's the same old kind of worry. It's the same old kind of bondage. It used to be bullies on the playground. Now it's the people at work, right? It used to be, will I ever grow older? Now it's, I'm growing older, right? It used to be, will I ever get bigger? Now it's like, how big is this lump going to get on me? It used to be, you know, is everybody going to like me? And now it's, is everybody going to like me, right? Some things just never change, right? Same worry. Different day. So what's the answer? Well, the truth is it's very simple, and I fear maybe too simple at times. We need to change the way we think. See, it's not rocket science. I hope I'm not raising your awareness for me to give you something that you look and say, I'm over it. No, it's not. We need to change the way we think. Well, how does that happen? Well, a couple things. Number one, by being in the Word of God. It renews our mind. If you're having a hard time with your thinking, if you're struggling with that stinking thinking disease, great way to get over that. It's saturated into the Word of God. It transforms our mind. It changes the way that we think. It corrects us or adjusts us. But let me point out three ways in our text today that Jesus said that we can overcome worry. There are three F's. I'm going to give you three F's this morning that help you remember these things that Jesus is talking about. The first one is faith. Faith. You've got to have faith to believe that God is really able to and willing to take care of you. Isn't it funny how we can have faith for other people, just not for ourselves? A lot of us can talk people out of or counsel people out of their situations. We go through the same thing our own self and we think we're a special case. You know, we're not that special, right? We need to have faith to believe that God will and wants to take care of us. Look at verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? He will take care of you. Jesus is appealing to their sense of logic. And he says, if he takes care of them, certainly he will take care of you. The story is told of the widow who lived during the 20s, going through some really tough times, and she didn't have any bread. And she prayed. She was a simple lady, and she prayed, God, just please send me some bread. Well, some of the kids in the neighborhood had happened to be walking by and heard her praying. And they had a great idea. And so they went out, and they bought some bread, and they climbed up on a roof, and they dropped it down the chimney. And they waited a little while, and then they went and knocked on the door, and they said, hey, sweetheart, how you doing? And then she said, doing? It's an amazing miracle. I can't believe what God did. She said, I had no bread. I prayed, and all of a sudden, bread came down the chimney. It was incredible. It's a miracle from God. And they said, no, they said, oh, you simple lady. We heard you praying. We went to the store. We bought the loaf. We dropped it down the chimney. What do you think about that? And she said, well, I still think God gave it. The devil may have delivered it, but God sent it. And I'm going to tell you something. If God wants to use the devil as his errand boy, he will come through for you. David said, I have been young and now I am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He will take care of you. Have faith to believe it. But sometimes the very thing that holds us back is that thing that we're holding so tightly to. And God is saying, let it go. Trust me. Have faith. Secondly, Father. We need to remember who our Father is. Such a tender word. Such a comforting word. Such a strong word. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows what you have need of. God knows that you have need, what you have need of, even more than you or I do. You know, the reality of it is oftentimes when God does not answer our prayers, because it's not what we need. It might be what we want, but it's not what we need. And it would be the very thing that holds us back from God's blessing in our life. And we need to remember that this one that we are appealing to is not some distant deity that wants nothing to do with us, but he is your Father who loves you and cares about you and will provide for you. Some of us need to really wrap our arms around the fact of how much God loves us. Listen, maybe your own father did not accept you. Maybe your friends did not accept you. Maybe your family, or maybe everybody in your life seems to have put you off, but your father loves you. So how do we make that transition? Find every word that you see in this scripture about Father and start looking and realizing that applies to you. Your Father will take care of you. And then thirdly, first. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Listen, much of the things that we worry about, the truth is, we never really have control over anyway, right? Oftentimes, the things that we find ourselves worrying about are the very things that we are striving after. And what Jesus is saying here is, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. The problem is, oftentimes, and it's a great way to check our own hearts and to examine our own lives, oftentimes the thing that we're worrying about is a great indication of what we're seeking after. And if you're walking in worry, you need to do a self-examining test and say, God, am I seeking after the right thing? Because you know what? Worry can be your friend. What? Worry can be your friend. It serves as a great barometer as to the fact that something might not be right. And it ought to not make us coil back. It ought to cause us to examine our hearts. It's kind of what I said about in Philippians. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. What is he saying? As soon as you start feeling anxious, it ought to be the very thing that drives you to your knees in prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And what will happen? What happens to that anxiety when we do that? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will rule or guard or govern your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's good stuff. So worry can be our friend. If there's an area that we're worrying in, it's a great way to take a step back and say, God, am I pursuing the wrong thing? Notice something here. Jesus says here, seek first the kingdom of God. He doesn't say you can't seek other things. You can seek seconds and you can seek thirds. As long as that's where the balance comes in. It's not wrong to have things. It's not wrong to want to have nice things. The problem is when that becomes our primary focus, then it controls us instead of us controlling it. And Jesus is saying here, what I want you to do is seek first the kingdom of God and His whole righteousness. And what happens is when we do that, He adjusts our heart and our minds to know what are the proper things we ought to be seeking after. He puts us into perspective. And so seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And it's very interesting. Not only will we gain the kingdom of God, not only will we gain His righteousness, but often the things that we're striving for will be added unto us if it's God's will for you. So in the end of the day, Jesus isn't after your money. I mean, we'll take it, right? I mean, let's get real, right? But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for your heart. Jesus is touching the comfort zone of their lives, the things that they're depending on, the things that they're holding to, the things that they're looking for, the thing that gets them out of bed in the morning. And he's saying, that must be me. And so for the one who was on the mountain that day and wanted to follow Jesus, they understood that he was calling them to a pledge of allegiance to this one who deserved nothing less. No wonder as Christ continued in his ministry, the crowds got smaller and smaller. Can I tell you, a lot of churches that are getting so big and big and big, not all of them, a lot of them are great, great churches, a lot of them are getting bigger and bigger because what they're trying to do, I was just sharing with Paul this morning, my biggest problem with the emerging church is they're trying to take the offense of the gospel out of the church, out of the gospel message. You can't do that without changing the gospel. Jesus is looking for our hearts. He's looking for us to prioritize Him. Will we, Integrity Christian Fellowship, take serious his call to abandon ourselves to him and trust him with our future, our microphones, with our future, our families, our finances, our faith, our very lives? We need to unlearn how to worry. We need to unlearn how to worry. And it's not going to happen overnight. It is a day by day pouring through the word, willing to apply its truths to our lives. And it is having faith in the fact that God wants to take care of us and will take care of us. It is remembering who your Father is. And it is by putting him first priority in our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you that it comforts those who are disturbed and disturbs those who are comfortable. Lord, it'd be so easy just to hear this message and walk out the door and go about our day. But I pray that the truth of this message would continue to preach to us throughout the course of the week. Lord, may we live lives that are recklessly abandoned to you because you've given so much to us. I thank you for this wonderful congregation. Lord, I pray your blessing upon them. Thank you that they're here today. They could have been anywhere. Thank you that they're here today and prioritize listening to the word of God, singing the songs of their heart to everything else going on in their lives. Bless them, I pray, in Christ's name.